This is a lovely, beautiful day. It's a day of very great remembrance, of course, for our nation. And we don't forget that, and our generations have gone on, but we remember that which was happened. I do have a personal memory. I was in the aftermath of the tail end of the Korean War. My abiding memory that there was hardly a building standing to one on another in Seoul. But the more important thing is that the streets seem to be filled with homeless orphans, often with no thing on their feet. And they were, of course, begging for food and things. And we as soldiers did try and help them. They looked after us in our tents and we fed them. But that's my memory. It's a personal memory. But war brings awful things upon people, children, to old people, all of us. So today we're thankful that as a nation we can give thanks for those who gave in order that we could be worshipping here this morning. So our sermon this morning, and the title that I have, is Salt and Light. So that's the practical part of living, isn't it? Salt and light. Now it might seem as though common or gardener things, but what does it mean, salt and light? Well, because I lived in Thailand, of course, I'm sorry, I often quote these little bits, but there are sayings you can say in some languages that you can't say in English. And the Thai have a saying that you're close to the salt, but you peck the ground. And the basic meaning is that you neglect the important things of life, like what you need, and you go for the unimportant things. You're ever so salt, near the salt, but you peck the ground. And I think it's a wake-up call sometimes for us because, and I put myself among these, when one's been a Christian for a long time, of course, there's a great deal that we take for granted. We take for granted that the church is here, the seats are here, the liturgy is here, the nation is by and large on living on its Christian heritage. A lot of things we take for granted. And then again, in our personal life, we're not greatly disturbed. I can't say that I am. I can be thankful for God for many good things. So there's a lot of things that we can be thankful for. So what do we mean then if you are the salt of the earth? And the interesting thing is that when Jesus said that, there were five sermons after the Beatitudes. And this comes shortly after the Beatitudes. And Jesus is making these five sermons. And so when he says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, it isn't said that you are maybe, if, but perhaps. No, it's said as a statement, an actual statement. You are the salt of the earth. Now, salt is immensely important. As I said already, we take things for granted. But and of course, we can't live without it. It's so absolutely essential. We would die if we did not have salt, some intake of salt. And of course, in the olden days, it was so precious that Roman soldiers were actually paid in salt. They were given salt, which they then in turn sold. And then the Sahara Desert, there are camel trains that run from one side of the Sahara Desert right to the other side, carrying loads of salt. Because it's so essential to the life of the individual people around them. There was a documentary on the TV not long ago about southwest of Scotland, just north of Edinburgh, where the salt pans were. And apparently it was a lucrative means of living for the people who lived in the area as the salt was sold across the sea, across into Europe. Salt is so absolutely essential. So when Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, as a statement, it was immensely important, the salt. So what do we mean then? Well, I would put one subheading and say it's the quality of life. It's the quality of living. Now, there are many successful people, and I wouldn't dare to say you can't live without God. Yes, you can, but what then if? My brother in South England a few years ago, he was very close to death, and he acknowledges that. But when he said that he thought he was going, I said to him, well, where did you think you were going? Oh dear, I'm afraid the balloon went up at that one. I didn't hear the last of it for a little while, but he'll be reconciled a bit more now. But he just interpreted it that I was giving a dig at him. I wasn't really. I was merely making a statement. Yes, you can live without God. Yes, you can have a life. Yes, you can get by. But where is the quality of life? A lovely little saying, isn't it? There's only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Jesus will last. And we used to say that in Sunday school. I repeat it. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Jesus will last. And our readings that Joyce and I have been reading from Jeremiah during this past week, it come on my little phone down here, and it's all about Jeremiah saying to the Israelites, the nation there, living the life before God. Living the life before God. Only what counts matters. And that was constantly being said. Live your life before God. And yes, so often they neglected it. And so often, so can we neglect it and not live our lives before God. We can find a life without God. Salt, so very, very essential. But what does it say? If we neglect the salt in life, it's worthless. Only be to be trodden underfoot, of no use, useless. Apparently, salt is so essential that when the death penalty was given at one point in the nation's life, people could make a choice. They'd say, well, I'll go without salt. And if they went without salt, eventually they did die. Quite an agonizing death, actually. But it's so essential to life. So I reinterpret that word again. So the purpose of life then, our purpose of life, we need to look at it constantly. But not, of course, only for ourselves. We are salt to others. Now, I know we are witnesses, and we use that phrase often enough. And we can be witnesses, not always perhaps being able to speak to anybody, but we are witnesses simply by who we are. And I don't doubt that you live amongst neighbours who probably perhaps disregarding church going, but maybe they'll see you coming out to church, and maybe that'll signal something in their minds. Maybe it's a non-spoken thing, but it's a witness, isn't it, that you're acknowledging that there is a God. What we do here, perhaps they don't know, but it's acknowledging. I can remember on the council house estate where we lived years ago, two doors down there was a Stevenson's. Along the other end of the road, there was the White's. And although we weren't churchgoers ourselves, because my father declared himself an atheist, my mother would take me up to the congregational service of sometimes on a Sunday evening. But anyway, with the Stevensons and the Whites, regular as clockwork on a Sunday morning at about 10:45, you'd see them go by. It might not seem very much, but I remember it after all these years. It was a witness that those people had an acknowledgement that they were going to a church. For what purpose, I didn't know, but they were going. And it made a difference. And after all these years, I can be thankful that somebody... My old headmistress, I can remember her, and I've said this many times here before, that back when I was about the age of 25 or so, I met her in the high street in the local village. And I did say to her that I'd become a Christian. And I can repeat how she said, "Oh yes, Harvey, isn't it? I always made sure that scripture was read in my school." I thank God for Miss Ward, for her faithfulness. She seemed a stuffy old lady in some ways, because she was only no more than 45 probably. I've long since passed that. But thank God for Miss Ward. She made sure that scripture was read in her school. And I remember those stories. And when I became a Christian, they weren't far away. They flooded back through my mind. They flooded back through my mind. And that's why I'm keen as a Gideon to keep on giving out scriptures, because what is there, the Holy Spirit brings to mind. And I'm going to try and give out some this morning at the memorial service up the road. So there you are. God's word, the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Purpose of life, to live for Christ. A witness for life. Usefulness of life. Are we any use? The old saying is, too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use, is meant as a little bit of a knock. Well, maybe there can be some truth in that. We can hide behind our religious orthodoxy. We can hide behind our, quote, righteousness. We can hide behind our orderliness and perhaps say nothing and do nothing and perhaps not appear to be anything. And I know, having lived in the men's world, in factories and different places, it's so easy to be one of the boys. So very, very easy to get into the way of talk, the way of chat, the way of associating. And it's always a slight dilemma. Do I withdraw and be holier than thou, or do I try and be part of? And I pray for young people, perhaps even more for young people today, when there are more and more pressures come on them. So, yes, the salt. You are the salt of the earth. And the second part of the talk, of course, is very similar. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now, I don't expect you all to be like at the Tower of London at the moment. There's all those candles lighting there. I don't suppose you want to be one of those, but you are a light. You are a light. You are a signal. You are a light. You are illuminated. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. We lived in Hackney for some years. Hackney is a slightly down market sort of area, I suppose, but we lived there for some 20, 30 years. And there was a curate who lived in that area, and he wanted to live on one of the down market estates. And I remember him sharing with us once how, with the oppressiveness and the sense of pressure and the things that went on around there, it was hard to shine. But what he did say, he said he took a little candle and he put it in his window. A candle, significant. It shone. It meant something. Amongst all the other oppressive things, depressing things, this little candle. And this curate vicar, he purposely wanted to live on that estate as part of a witness. And yes, he was a witness. And of course, right behind us, we have the candles, don't we? Those candles signify light. When I go to Snaresbrook Crown Court once a week, well, I'm just one of a team, but I'm there on Tuesdays, one of the first things we do is light the candles so that people passing by, they can be jurors, they can be people who are being accused, they can be barristers, but they'll look in and they'll look down and they'll see the light shining. It means something. And I don't know whether we don't make a great deal of personal candles, but we have a little array there that if people want to light their own candle, they can, and they put it on a slight display. And people do. And they come in, they write a little note, and they just write a little candle in memory of perhaps what we're thinking of today, or perhaps for the anxiety that they're going through. But a light means something. You are the light of the world. Don't hide your light, is what the Lord is saying. Don't hide it. Don't sort of put it under a bucket, as it says in the newer translation. Might light go out anyway, wouldn't it? But anyway, it says all these things. Don't hide your light. And again, it reflects very similar to what we've been saying already, that if you hide something, put it again, make sure obscure it in some way, it's not seen to clearly show. And again, I come back to my working life. You know, I've been grateful for the life that the Lord has given me. He's given me the opportunity to come into ministry and come into sort of a larger arena. But, you know, in my working life, it was very much part of being amongst the ordinary. And that is difficult. That is difficult. I do remember the second time I went into the army, I was called up as a reservist in the 56 Suez Crisis. And I was ever such a new Christian, but I had been taught that you should, bow and give a witness. And I did. I sort of put my knees to it. And one sergeant, I think he was sorry for me. All right, son. I think he thought I was afraid of living. Anyway, never mind. It made the point with him that I had a faith, you know. But it's difficult to be different, ever so difficult to be different in that kind of world, in that kind of background. But the interesting thing is people do see it. They do acknowledge it. And, of course, the world of the ordinary men is usually quite sort of with liberally inserted swear words. And then they say, oh, pardon my French, you know, because they'd acknowledge that you're not being the same. So it does make a difference. Don't hide your light. be a light, be the salt. And that's our message for us today. Just the ordinary living that we have, which perhaps is not very challenging in some ways. And in some ways, being the fairly ordinary, not being challenged, like we read of other people having to be much challenged in the Near East and others as Christians, we're not challenged in that way. But don't let us go to sleep. Don't let us forget that we are the salt, we are the light to this nation at the time. And, of course, a lot in this Remembrance Day, people are saying, yes, but we're not a religious nation now. I wouldn't be quite so sure of what the humanist said this morning, that most of us don't know. I think, this is personal now, I don't think that the thoughts of God are very far from people's minds, even if they don't go to church. And that's why I think the salt and the light needs to be shining in order that people can see, yeah, there is something somewhere that we can look. So let us praise God this morning for all the liberty that we have. All the liberty. I think I've covered myself and my notes that I made. I don't write things out, I know, but I give myself notes, yeah. Okay, so the light cannot be hidden, yeah. Praise God. So I'm going to just bow our heads now and pray. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, in this particular day of national mourning, national remembrance, national celebration and thankfulness. May we too, Lord, be thankful in our lives, and may our light not go out. May our salt not become unsalty. In Jesus' name, amen.